Hello and welcome to The Short Squeeze, a podcast about what's happening in financial markets in the coming week. I'm Lucy Battersby, editor of Markets Live, a daily live blog on the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age websites. This week, we're looking at the big news out of China's National People's Congress and curious changes to trade rules. We're going to go into detail about all the IPOs coming up on the ASX at the moment. I'll give you a hint, it's not many. And in our second half, we'll discuss the market's massive reaction to a coronavirus vaccine and the rise and rise of the FANG stocks. If you don't know what FANGs are, you soon will. This morning, I'm joined by IG Markets analyst Kyle Rodder. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, Lucy.
So this week, China's been having their big annual meeting, the National People's Congress. We've also had a few curious new rules popping up about various trade items recently. But Kyle, if you can just run us through first, what are some of the big changes that have come out from this Congress?
Yeah, well, it was a big one for markets last week. And I think we did see a lot of sort of buying into risk assets in anticipation of this meeting. And you did see that a lot as well in industrial commodity prices. Now, a few things so far, of course, have come out of the NPC, which has been of relevance to the market. First and foremost, and this was expected, is that the Chinese government have pulled their growth target for 2020. So naturally, they had an annualized growth target of 6% for this year. And because of the COVID-19 outbreak, they've pulled that and said that it's no longer necessary. But what they've also announced too, which has sort of been a bit of a push and pull factor for market participants, is on the one hand, they've announced a pretty considerable economic stimulus package. So a deficit funded fiscal stimulus package worth about $500 billion, which came in a little bit lower than that which was implemented during the GFC, but still rather considerable. But then on the other side of the equation too is that there was the announced this new Hong Kong security bill, which is more or less designed to crack down on civil unrest within Hong Kong, and it's been accused, international actors are accusing Beijing of sort of violating the one country, two systems policy. So we've seen a lot of market volatility coming out of this event already.
There were more protests in Hong Kong over the weekend, weren't there, in reaction to this? The tear gas was back.
Exactly. And this event's a big, big circus, and it lasts for a couple of weeks. So the vote for this particular bill will more or less take place in the week ahead. And we're already seeing some massive civil unrest in Hong Kong, protests on the streets. And the Hang Seng dropped 5.5% on Friday alone. So the event so far has really lived up to the hype. And I think overall now it's been the geopolitics that's really seized control of the narrative and sort of put aside some of the big measures that China is taking to try and stimulate its economy through this recession.
And is that good news for Australia in terms, like, Chinese infrastructure projects usually lead to high demand for our iron ore so that they can make steel? And iron ore is still by far our biggest export. Did the introduction in the tariffs on barley and the banning on beef, did that have anything to do with the National People's Congress, or is there another issue at play here? There were some concerns that it might have been retaliation for an independent investigation into the source of the coronavirus.
Yeah, as I understand it, I think most experts on this one have pointed to the curious timing of the announcements, that these things were bubbling along in the background for quite some time, and that these decisions to ban certain beef imports from Australia was of curious timing, and then obviously the tariffs on barley is the same thing. And then also we obviously had last week too some of that the announcement that they'll be changing the inspection regulations for iron ore coming into China as well, which China has pushed back too and saying it has nothing to do with anything to do with trade tensions or geopolitical tensions between China and Australia. But again, it seems to be rather curious timing. Now, the iron ore price has largely ignored that fact. And I do think there's two sides. There's a demand and supply side of the situation at the moment that's pushing the iron ore price higher. The demand side comes more from disruptions in Brazil. The supply side more from disruptions in Brazil. But more or less last week, we did see a bit of strength coming back through for iron ore prices. And it would seem market participants are really clinging onto this notion that, again, like after the GFC, there will be this infrastructure-led rebound potentially in Chinese economic activity that will lift lift demand for Australia's iron ore, despite all of these tensions that that have emerged.
Okay, thanks, Kyle. lot of businesses have been shutting down recently due to the lockdown. There's been a huge disruption to the economy. And I had a quick look at the upcoming floats on the ASX because our listeners, they might want to get involved in a company that's just floating. The bad news is there's only two listed. And one is due to list at the beginning of this week and the next doesn't have a confirmation date. And I suspect just that the number of floats has completely dried up. The one listing earlier this week is Intellicare Holdings, which is an Internet of Things company for nursing homes. And the other is a small mining company. Neither of them are seeking to raise more than $6 million.
Right.
And I feel like, you know, we're going to get to the second half of this year and people go, well, there just was no primary capital raised. And I suspect the reason no one's trying to raise money is because the secondary capital market has been so busy with all those capital raisings. Mm. In 2019, by this time of the year, they'd raised about $3.5 billion, so last year. In this year, they raised $13 billion in April alone.
Right.
So all the money is going into the established companies on the ASX. But it's not – Australia is unusual in the capital raisings that have been going on. For example – Computershare had a trading update last week where they pointed out that IPO activity in Hong Kong has been quite strong, actually. Each market is seeking its own way to raise money at the moment. But I do wonder what investors are going to do if there's just no new companies coming out on the ASX.
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit of a chicken-the-egg situation too, where businesses obviously realise that it's a really difficult time to raise capital. And it's an environment where investor sentiment is so depressed that the kind of valuation that they may want to get on their equity is probably well below what they could achieve in better circumstances. You know, I do think you're seeing a similar dynamic too in the United States, which is interesting, but the flip side of that is that we're seeing debt capital markets being tapped much more in the United States rather than equity markets amongst corporates over there.
So do you mean companies selling bonds to raise money?
Yeah, exactly. So companies are feeling much more comfortable to take advantage of very, very low interest rates. And as they have in the last decade, rather than dilute their share price, try and go into debt markets to be able to support their funding. Again, for me, I don't look at primary capital markets too much in my role, but you know, I do look at them as a bit of an indicator for broader sentiment. And it just does speak of an environment that at least the smart money might be a little bit skeptical about equity valuations here, and really what prospect there is to raise capital in this environment where fundamentals are so depressed and valuations are likely to be much lower than, again, what they would be in normal times.
All right, thanks, Kyle. We'll keep an eye on that IPO pipeline and see if someone is brave enough to test the waters and
pop their head up.
Yeah, in coming months. Thank you.
IG is a world-leading online trading provider, giving traders access to over 16,000 global financial markets on our award-winning platforms. With over 45 years of experience, you can trade with confidence when with IG. Visit ig.com.au for more information. All trading involves risks. Issued by IG Markets Limited, AFSL 220440.
Welcome back. This week we're going to talk about some topics that are on our radar. Kyle, I wanted to talk about the massive market reaction that occurred last week after a US company called Moderna announced positive results from a very small preliminary trial on a coronavirus vaccine. But then it turned out that it wasn't quite so promising after all. And I just want to point out that there are at least 80 companies trying to develop vaccines at the moment. And we're in for a very rocky ride if the market is going to react so strongly every time someone says that they've had a positive result on their trial. Most investors don't have the medical training or the understanding of the biopharmaceutical industry to understand each announcement. So it's going to be a very difficult time for people to decide when it's time to react positively, when it's time to just sit still. I feel like we've got a couple of different pockets of expertise are clashing at the moment.
Yeah.
Did you feel like it was a bit of an overreaction to that vaccine announcement?
Yeah, it's one of those instances where we can all get hysterical and point at the algos as to why the market went so berserk on that particular news. You know, that it was some machine-driven trading dynamic which you know, some algo picked up on the news, ran with the momentum and everyone chased that to push the market higher. But the Moderna one was fascinating. you would sort of think that eventually the markets would start to adjust a little bit, particularly, you know, we had the same dynamic emerge after the Gilead news, that market participants would temper their enthusiasm every time there was a positive headline around a potential vaccine or antiviral treatment, yada, yada, yada. I suppose the Moderna one was very interesting because some of the major shareholders and owners in that company were selling their stock hand over fist as that rally was emerging. So you always scratch your head after that one, particularly after the Stat News report came out and cast a little bit of a doubt on the results that Moderna published. But anyway, such is a volatile market, I suppose. Headlines move them. And in a pretty automated driven market environment in the short term, maybe we're just going to see these sort of choppy trading conditions every time some miracle cure does get announced.
Now, those executive sales, you talk about automatic trading. I read that those sales were part of an automatic order that they had put in months before, that if the stock reached a certain high price, they should sell. So it wasn't a good look, but apparently there was Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
But the company did try and raise over $1 billion in capital to fund the trial, but at that higher price. So there was some questioning about their judgment about the giant jump in the stock price. So, Kyle, what's been on your radar this week?
Over the weekend, I was having a look at a few charts as I'm wont to do. One caught my eye, which was the New York Stock Exchange FANG Plus Index. So effectively,
now in case anyone's been sitting under a rock, what are the FANG stocks?
Well, of course, the most prominent ones are your Facebooks and your Amazons and your Netflix and your Googles. But the index itself actually comprises companies like Tesla in there too, and a few other high-profile tech names. You know, the beloved stocks that have led the charge higher for the better part of a decade. You know, those big growth tech names. And this particular index, as of Friday's trading, is within a whisker of an all-time high that it set back in February. So it was very interesting for me and very illustrative of the market environment that we're in at the moment, particularly in the United States, which is outperforming, seemingly, if you look at the S&P 500 as your chosen benchmark, that these big household companies that could have a touch of FOMO behind them in terms of the buying activity is underpinning broad-based US stock market strength at the moment, and rightly or wrongly, are valued in terms of what's emerging in price action, just as they were before the coronavirus pandemic obviously catalyzed this bull market. So I want to keep watching that one because there's a lot of talk that perhaps there's a little bit too much retail participation in those stocks, and perhaps it is the FOMO trade that's driving them higher. Or perhaps maybe it is just the market getting ahead of the future and buying into those companies that offer growth and opportunity in the future. But for me, that was a highlight last week because it spoke of a number of different themes really driving stock markets right now.
If you look at the ASX, our information technology sector in the 200, that's outperforming the market quite strongly as well.
Yes, and wouldn't it have been lovely to pick up Afterpay at $8 or $9, as some folks out there probably did too, because I think a lot of that's been driven by their share price.
Well, I guess the IT sector is one that works without human, it replaces the human interactions which we've had to shut down because of the virus. So in some ways, the IT sector was always going to be the winner out of this.
Yeah, and I think it's a pretty salient point too, I suppose, that you know, we talk at these big changes and trends that might come out of the COVID-19 virus out of this, and that perhaps, you know, these situations don't create new trends, they just accelerate some of the old ones and bring them forward a little bit. And that, you know, assumes dominance of tech in the future as our lives become more automated, that productivity is driven more by technology above and beyond anything else, is just, I suppose, being shot full of steroids because of this crisis, and everyone wants to get in now ahead of the curve before these companies become out of reach to the normal investor, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Kyle. This has been The Short Squeeze, a podcast produced by The Age and Sydney Morning Herald in conjunction with IG Markets. You can follow daily stock market news on our live blog, and feel free to subscribe to this podcast via your podcast platform. You can catch us again next week.